Well, it's the season of dreams. Do any of you remember your dreams? Yes, some people are nodding yes. Do you dream in color or black and white? Good color, I hear lots of color, all right. Well, tonight when you go to bed, you can think about that and see what happens in the morning. Christmas is particularly a season of dreams. Children dream that they will get their favorite gift. Adults dream that their children won't eat too much chocolate, and that all will go well with all their family members who are gathered. And I'm pretty sure that pets dream that there will be turkey and ham left within reach. And perhaps we have some nightmares too, but hopefully none of them are as poignant as having to flee in the middle of night to save one's family. All of us, I'm sure, have had premonitions at one time or another. Mostly we tend to ignore them, some we note, and few we follow. For example, feeling that if a particular decision is made, things will not go well. Usually we don't listen to that because we think we're just being afraid. Or our sense of impending change, we pick up from others' people's behaviors or what they're saying, that things might be different or something is going to happen, and we might check it out with them. Or knowing, just that sense of knowing deep in your soul, knowing whatever. This third one always reminds me of one of my visits back here when I was in New Zealand. And my father, when I used to leave, would always lean against the counter in the kitchen to say goodbye. And I'd go and give him a hug and a kiss and go to the door. And I'll never forget that trip, because I looked at him standing, leaning against the counter, trying to look relaxed, with a few tears, as always, in his eyes when I left. I looked into his eyes and thought, I'm never going to see you again. And it wasn't even sad, it was just a sense of knowing. And so when he died a year and a half later, I knew that that indeed had been something that was right. Well, probably none of these things screamed to you when they happened to you, watch out, or ended in terrible tragedy. Sometimes, however, looking back, it would be useful to have a bit more warning. For instance, when an accident occurs, wouldn't it be nice if someone just kind of let you know before it happens so you could at least protect yourself a little bit? Or when we're in a relationship, and sometimes we do get warnings and ignore them, but wouldn't it be lovely if you could just kind of have a real sense that this is or isn't going to turn out before you put in all that effort? Well, if we had that, we would be saved some serious pain and suffering. So most of us, I'm sure you can all think of a time when a warning might have been just a little bit helpful. Because we might have paused, reconsidered, made a different plan of action, or just not done it at all. All we needed was just a still small voice to guide us in one direction or another, and usually we get silence. But that's not really how things work in terms of getting those really strong images. Instead, we live by faith, we live by our choices, we live by our instincts, and by our observations. We live knowing that the decisions we make, while may be guided by some sense of God or some greater power, those decisions are still our own, and so are the consequences of whatever the decision is. Well, on this, the first Sunday of Christmas, we hear a story about a big warning. In fact, three of them. It's not a still, small voice offering words of encouragement or guidance or direction. It's much more intense. The Holy Family is told by an angel's visit in a dream to clear out, get out of town, and to run as fast as they can. They are warned clearly of impending danger, and they are told where to go and how long to stay there until Herod dies. Joseph is actually warned twice more in dreams in one reading. I don't know how he ever got any sleep, this poor man. He's warned to go to Israel, and then he's warned not to go there, to stay there, but to go to Nazareth in Galilee. Now, the interesting thing about Joseph is that he listened. Would you? Well, maybe if an angel woke you up in the middle of the night in a dream, you might listen. I might pay attention then. But I often have dreams and wake up and think, well, that was interesting. And then by noon, it's long forgotten. But Joseph's dreams were so vivid, so clear, that he was able to steer his way past danger. I, on the other hand, would go to bed thinking, and waking up the next morning after having such a dream, I ate too much cheese last night. I watched too many horror movies before bedtime. Actually, I don't watch those, so scary movies, any kind of scary movie. But if a dream actually involved the safety of my family or my loved ones, I hope I would pay attention. I hope I would act. Joseph not only paid attention and listened to the message, but he went right away. Immediately, besides dream, it's immediately, immediately, immediately in this reading. Imagine what their life had been like. I really feel for Joseph. First of all, he finds out that his betrothed one is expecting a child. Bit of a shock. In a dream, of course, by an angel. And then they are on their way to have this baby, and they get stuck without anywhere to live. And then they just get through that, and shepherds and angels start appearing. And then that's over, and then wise ones come with gifts and symbolism and all the pomp and grandeur. And they're probably just thinking, like us, this Sunday after Christmas, phew, let's just relax for a bit. And another darn dream comes along. And they have to flee Herod because he wants to destroy this young Messiah. And they begin a fearful and dangerous and long journey. Imagine what it would have been like for them to have heard about their family and friends back home whose children under the age of 2 that were boys had been killed. Because gossip and word traveled even then. Imagine how they would have wondered, what is going on? Why us? Why did we get to flee? This was not an event, of course, that God asked to have done, but rather Herod in his insecurity, his fear, and his struggle for power. There is horror at our ability to act with evil intent. And Herod played that out. Why were Mary and Joseph saved? Well, we know, looking back, but did they know then? Did they believe that their son was actually the Son of God? Where was God in the midst of it all? Well, those were questions they probably asked and ones we ask every other day. At some level, it's kind of like the whole dreaming thing. God is present in every moment in our lives. It's whether we pay attention to it or not that makes a difference. God is there and grounded, somewhere we can be grounded in the hard times. God is there in that still, small voice that guides us, gives us a sense something might be happening, and nudges us to safety. God is there in the healing of our pain and in the loving presence of all those who help us in our lives. We have dreams all the time. I think at Christmas in particular, we dream of new life. We dream of hope. We dream of a new world where needs are met, life-giving relationships are formed and nurtured, and we don't have any need in the world to act with evil intent towards each other. Those could be some of our dreams. Perhaps that's what's behind the hope that all will go well at Christmas, the hope that we get the gifts that we asked for, the hope that our hunger will be fed. Obviously, our dreams have not been fulfilled. Because when things are really hard and we're struggling, It's hard to remember why this Christ child we celebrate is so important. Why heavenly and beings and earthly shepherds gathered to celebrate his birth. Why royal mystics traveled so far to see him. Why cruel tyrants, even to this day, fear the message that Jesus brings. And yet, we continue to live in a season of dreams. We dream that children will have everything they need to be healthy and happy. We dream that adults will thrive in solid relationships. And I suspect the pets could even dream that they will provide love and care to their owners. But we need to pay attention to the images that come, whether they be familiar or strange, whether you've eaten a lot of cheese or watched too many movies or had a good sleep. We need to pay attention and remember that we have a choice to live according to human intentions like Herod, which aren't always positive, or God's dream. So maybe listen for hope, look for peace, live in joy, and act in love. Because our world needs our dreams. Once we have done that, we tend to live out the positive. And then the hopes and dreams of all these years can find expression in the choices we make today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives. Until this night comes again, not this night, this morning, the Sunday after Christmas comes again next year. And we can get renewed again in that dream of new life, of hope, and promise. We can dare to dream God's dream and to make it ours. So when you dream tonight, whether it be in color, black and white, or you're just having, you don't even know, maybe you catch a glimpse by tomorrow morning of what's really real, what God wants for you, for us, for all creation. Let's keep dreaming. Amen.